Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Changes to how we spell everyday words could be on the horizon if spelling reformers in Britain manage to convince academics and teachers that their system is superior. But why? Well, let me read you an extract from a poem called The Chaos to demonstrate the absurdities of English spelling. Beware of herd, a dreadful word that looks like beard and sounds like bird, and dead, it said like bed, not bead. For goodness sakes, don't call it deed. And that goes on and on and on with more and more examples of how spelling can be confusing in the English language. Well, I'm joined on the line by Stephen Lindstedt, who's a member of the English Spelling Society and author of Traditional Spelling Revised. You're very welcome, Stephen. We'll be joined in a moment by Des Ryan, who has a PhD in linguistics and is a linguist for Apple. But Stephen, you believe that the English language is broken.
I don't believe the English language is broken. I do believe the English spelling has got severe deficiencies. It's basically the spelling system of English is the most irregular and unpredictable of all spelling systems based on the alphabetic principle. With most languages, most spelling systems, at least you know how to pronounce a word from the spelling. You don't with English. Not merely can you not predict the spelling from hearing the word, you can't always know how to pronounce from seeing it written. This double whammy is probably unique to English. And this does have practical effects. This is not just quaintness. For example, it's been found that English-speaking school children take more than 2 years longer on average to master basic spelling compared with those in other languages. And we contend this has social and economic costs.
So are you talking about using phonetics to spell words?
We're talking about making English spelling more predictable. The particular scheme which has been voted on by the International English Spelling Congress, in which I authored, is a conservative scheme. It only makes changes where these are necessary to reduce ambiguity or to get rid of some of the failures of English spelling. It respells about 8 to 18% of existing words, depending on the context.
What about silent letters then, Stephen? I'm thinking of the word Nash, so G-N-A-S-H. That would lose its G under your system, would it?
Yes, under TSR and under other spelling reform systems, one drops the redundant letters. You can, if you want, under TSR, put an apostrophe in if you want, particularly if that might help to distinguish letters that sound the same, like our. If you, for the period of time, you could put an apostrophe in instead of the H to distinguish with from our, as in our property.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring in Des, who works for Apple as a linguist. Good morning to you, Des.
Hi, Claire. How are you getting on?
I'm good. I'm listening to what Stephen is saying, and I'm thinking about how far down this road we've already gone with text speak on phones.
The reality is nothing is going to change in formal spelling. You know, at the moment, whatever people do with text messaging, and a lot of that. 20 years ago, there was a lot of that happening. But nowadays, you get more creativity in names and in places where, you get in spellings outside of dictionary spellings is where the interesting stuff happens. But amongst, let's say, dictionary spellings, normal spellings, there's very little chance that things will change. And any the effect of text messaging of, say, 15, 20 years ago has really been put to bed by predictive text, because nowadays it's not as cool, I suppose, to misspell words as it once was, mm-hmm. at least amongst younger people.
Yeah, the English language is tricky though, isn't it? I mean, I was teaching my seven-year-old how to spell frightening the other day, which was on his list of words. It is very hard to explain why there is a GH in the middle of that word.
Yeah, I'd say it was quite a frightening experience.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
for him and me.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. My son is a little younger. He can spell letters, but he can't spell whole words. And I haven't got to that stage yet. He's nearly four. And you're right. It's quite a frightening experience because, well, I suspect it will. I mean, if you come back to me in a year or so, or a couple of years, I'll know more about what it's like to teach kids. But I think the question for something like that is, you have to ask why these things happened, and I think it would be very helpful if more people knew the reasons behind the irregularities of the spelling. Some of the irregularities are, the irregularities really could do with being getting rid of. I agree with Stephen a lot there. And some of them just, they're very right to be there, and it would be helpful if everybody, you know, teachers and parents and general public had a better idea of the patterns of English spelling. Because, and it would help. It would make it easier to teach.
Stephen, do you think one way to start this would be for all of us, and I'm including educational institutions as well, particularly second level, third level, to just relax a little bit about spelling?
I don't think that we need a free-for-all in spelling. That would make for chaos. What I do think about English spelling is that, particularly when it comes to tests and exams, that examiners need to be a little bit liberal and understanding. If you're very good at spelling, basically you have a good memory for memorizing irregular spellings, and you'll be good at spelling bees, but not everybody has that memory. And if you're in an exam or a test when you can't access a dictionary or a spell checker, then you may well make mistakes that people with other better memories would not make. And I think in those circumstances, a little bit of toleration is required. I'm not suggesting that people should spell as they want. I think every language needs a correct spelling system. And until the English language evolves to something more regular, people should spell correctly. And we're not proposing any government-imposed reform. We're really seeking a bottom-up approach, hoping to approach people who are students, young people, people more open to change, to practice the new system in communicating with each other in the hope that eventually it may spread bottom upwards to a position where at least it is tolerated academically.
Yes, because people who have already learned how to spell and who are adults will find it very difficult to change. You're not expecting them to.
No, indeed not. But I think as far as TSR, the scheme I was describing, is concerned, anybody who sees a script written in TSR will be able to understand it with a knowledge of traditional spelling. They will see some words, a few of them spelled differently, but the overall text will not look too different from the present.
Well, it's certainly an interesting proposition. Stephen Linstead and Des Ryan, thank you both very much indeed for joining us. Spelling words, how they sounded would make life so much better for my dyslexic son, says one texter. And we're getting a lot of messages from people who are missing their hobbies and sports. We'll bring those to you in the next hour. Now, though, we'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.